If somebody asked you this question, how would you answer? Now, just think about it in your heart. You don't have to answer out loud. But if somebody asked you this question, how would you answer it? If you were to die today, do you know 100% for sure that you would go to heaven? Now, nobody wants to die today. Amen? I mean, it's like, hey, praise the Lord, I'm on my way to heaven. But you know what? Nobody wants to get up a train load today, do they? Amen? I mean, you know, we're on our way to heaven, but yet we want to live. We want to be able to live our life unto Christ here on this earth. And that's understandable. Paul even said he was in a strait betwixt two. But if you die today, because we don't know when that's going to happen, do you know 100% for sure that you would go to heaven? Now, if in your heart you answered yes, I know, I do know for sure, then I want to follow that up with this question to you. Why do you know that you will go to heaven? Think about that. Why do you know that you will go to heaven? If you were to stand before God, and if He were to ask you, why should I allow you into heaven for eternity, how would you answer God if He asked you that? If He said, why should I let you into heaven? How would you answer that? Now, think about that, because the time to think about that is right now, see? That's the time to think about it, is while you're living, right now. I mean, you know, a lot of people give no thought or any planning to, you know, heaven and going to heaven. I mean, nobody goes to Disney World without a plan on how they're going to get in, right? In Orlando over there. Nobody just gets in the car and goes over there and goes to the front gate, and the guy says, well, why should I let you in? You have a ticket? No. Well, you got any money? No. You got a Visa card? No. You got any method of payment? No. Well, then why should I let you in Disney World? Well, because I'm better than most people. I go to church at Crossroads. See how far that gets you, amen? Not very far. Not very far. You see, I mean, we have a plan. If we're going to go to Disney World, we don't just go without a plan. We got a plan for how we're going to get in, or, you know, Disney World or SeaWorld or any of them other worlds, amen? Well, what about eternity world, you know? What's your plan? When you stand before the Lord and He says, why should you let me in? What are you going to say? You know, you say, well, I'm going to tell Him I joined the church. If you do that, don't mention Crossroads, okay? Please. I was baptized. Why should I let you in heaven? I kept the Ten Commandments. I never did anything too bad. I was better than most. How do you think those answers are going to work out? Not too good. You know, and here's why they're not going to work out too good. Here's why. Because none of those things can wash away your sin. Hey, when you join this church, does that wash away your sin? No. No, not at all. Hey, you know what? You could be baptized in the ocean. You could be baptized in the pond out front. You could be baptized in water here. Is that going to wash away your sins internally? No. No. Just city water. Right? City water. I don't even drink it. How about you, huh? But, no, it's not going to work out. At the end of the day, and here's the thing. I'm being silly, but here's the thing. At the end of the day, no matter how many churches you join, no matter how many ponds you were baptized in, we have all sinned, and God cannot allow sin to go unpunished. So when I stand before the Lord one day, the issue is going to be very simple. The issue is going to be, what have you done with God's provision for sin, Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus Christ is truth. You know, I was doing some Bible reading. I was just reading the Bible just for the enjoyment of it. I wasn't really studying for a message or anything. And I was reading this in John 12, and it really hit me. And I thought about this. Listen to what Jesus said. He said in John 12, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, Jesus said, you reject me, he said, well, then you have one that's going to judge you. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So the issue is Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to 1 Timothy 3, one of the greatest verses in the New Testament on the doctrine of Jesus Christ is found in verse 16. Look at it with me. 1 Timothy 3:16. All right, notice he says, without controversy, in other words, it's not up for debate, great is the mystery of godliness, this gospel scheme. God was manifest in the flesh. That's a reference to Jesus. Jesus was manifested in Bethlehem, wasn't he, in a fleshly body. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. The entire gospel scheme, the entire gospel plan revolves around the person of Jesus Christ. What, and this is a key statement, and I want you to please hide this in your heart. What a person believes about Jesus Christ is the difference between eternal life or eternal judgment. What a person believes about Jesus Christ. He said, man, I'm the light. If you believe in me, you won't walk in darkness. He said, but if you reject me, then you know what? Judgment is coming. You see, Jesus is the core issue. That's why as a church here at Crossroads, we have a mission. And that mission is to proclaim Jesus Christ. And I don't want us to ever forget that. I don't want us to ever lose sight of that. Is that we are here and our mission is not to proclaim myself or the deacons or you or to make a name for ourselves. No, I want you to know that the issue is that we are here. We've got a mission, and that mission is to proclaim the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Why? Because what people believe about Christ is the difference between eternal life or eternal judgment. I want you to look and notice in verse 16 there in our text, we're preaching through the book of 1 Timothy on Sunday mornings, and I want you to notice that we covered that God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He wasn't a good man, a prophet, a moral teacher. He was God in the flesh. Not only that, he was justified in the Spirit. That means that the Holy Spirit looked at Jesus and justified him. He was proclaimed innocent, just, righteous, holy. Never one time did he sin. He was justified in the Spirit. Not only that, he was seen of angels. There are multitudes of heavenly witnesses called angels that will attest to Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven, his exaltation at the right hand of the Father. And in Revelation 5, the Bible says that they are proclaiming in heaven, all the multitudes of angels are saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He was seen of angels. And not only that, it says he was preached unto the Gentiles. Preached means proclaimed. He was proclaimed. And as I said, our mission is to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this, and I believe with all my heart that what I'm going to say, I can clearly back up with Scripture and will. And here's the statement that I want to make. If any church, I don't care what the denomination is, I don't care what the name on the sign is out on the street, if any church's main mission, if their main thing that they're doing, if they're not proclaiming Jesus Christ, then they are not of God. They're not of God. Period. If their main mission is not proclaiming Christ, they're not of God. You see, the reason why I know that is this. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would come in John 16:14 and would glorify Jesus Christ. He said when the Holy Spirit comes, he won't proclaim himself. He will point people to me. He will tell people about me. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will glorify me. That means that if a church is led by the Holy Spirit of God, they are going to proclaim and they're going to exalt and they're going to lift up, and like we sung, they're going to magnify Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit came to magnify Jesus Christ. So if a church is not magnifying, exalting, lifting up Jesus Christ, then they're not of God. They're not of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to do this. I want you to do something a little different. All right? I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go back to the first book of the Bible. first chapter of the Bible. All right? I want you to go back to Genesis 1. All right? And I want everybody to do this with me. Now, Genesis 1. And I want you then to flip back another page. You say, what are you talking about? Flip back before Genesis 1, and in my Bible, I have an index that lists all the books of the Bible, and I want you to look at that index. So everybody go to the index at the front that lists all the books of the Bible in the order that they come. And then I want you to look down at where it says the books of the New Testament. Everybody look down at that, the books of the New Testament. Now, church, I want you to talk to me here now and tell me, what are the first four books of the New Testament? Say them with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, those four books talk all about the life of Jesus Christ. They talk about how he was born in Bethlehem. They talk about his life, his ministry. They talk about all the wonderful things that he did, the teachings that he had. Then it talks about his crucifixion. It talks about how he rose again from the dead the third day, how he was raised up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four different accounts of the life of Christ while his ministry was here on the earth, okay? Now, I want you to look at the next book, and I want you all to tell me, what is that next book? Acts. All right? Acts. Well, what is that? Acts? That sounds like a weird name for a book. Acts. You know? Acts is short for actions. Right? I want you to go look in your index there at the page number, and I want you to go to that. All right? Go to Acts. Go to that book in your Bible. All right? Let's all turn there. Go to Acts, and I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me, okay? We're going to learn something here. Acts chapter 1. Now, Acts is short. The fuller title is here in my Bible. It may not be in yours. I don't know. But I've got the full title of the book right there at the front of this book. And now my Bible says the Acts of the Apostles, right? Does yours say that? The Acts of the Apostles. So what does that mean? The Acts of the Apostles? Well, I think we know what that means, right? The Acts of the Apostles means what they did, right? What this group of people called the Apostles, that book's telling you what they did after the life of Christ. Remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell you all about the life of Jesus. And then Acts of the Apostles tells me the actions, what they did after his death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. Now, to be an apostle, here was a qualification. By the way, I'm not an apostle. So don't call me Apostle Dan, all right? Don't call him Apostle Rich, all right? We're not apostles. There are no apostles in this room right now. In order to be an apostle, you had to have seen the resurrected Christ physically and bodily. You had to have seen him in his resurrection. Now, listen, after he rose from the dead, you remember he walked on the earth for 40 days and appeared to many people? Well, this is where we get apostles from. These were men who had actually seen Jesus Christ in his physical body after his resurrection. He walked the earth for 40 days, and then he ascended up to the right hand of the Father, and they watched him go away, the Bible says. So now this book comes, and it's going to tell me what they did, what their actions were after Christ went away into heaven, after his death, burial, and resurrection. Now I want you to turn to Acts 1, verse 8, and I want to show you the last words of Christ to these men, all right? Look at Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Remember what I told you earlier? If a church is of the Holy Spirit, if they're of God, notice what it says. Once the Holy Spirit comes on them, ye shall be witnesses unto who? He said, me. Jesus said, you are going to be witnesses unto me. You're going to talk about me. You're going to give witness to me and the fact that I died and I was buried and that I rose from the dead. So these men were eyewitnesses of the risen Christ. Now, as you read the book of Acts, do you know what the recurring theme is? The Acts of the Apostles. All right? If I said, hey, there's a book I have called The Acts of the Costanza Family. That'd be a real interesting book, wouldn't it, Rich? Yeah. The Acts of the Costanza. We're going to learn what they've done in the past, and what their actions were. As you read the Acts of the Apostles, it's going to tell you what they did, what they were all about. Go to Acts 2, and let me show you something here, okay? And while you're turning there, I'll just say this, all right, is that as we read, and I'm going to prove it to you here, the apostles' main business was preaching Christ. The apostles' main business was preaching Christ. Now, everybody look up here and look at the screen, and what did I just say? What was their main business? Let me show you. Acts 2, they're in Jerusalem, standing before tons of people. Look at Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, Peter said, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both what? Lord and Christ. I want you to notice, the very first message Peter ever preaches, it's all about Jesus, if you read this chapter, and what he did. Now go to Acts chapter 4, all right? Turn over to Acts chapter 4, and look at verse number 10. Here they go again. Here's the apostles. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be what, church? Say, they're proclaiming Christ, right, Pastor Shannon? They're just preaching Jesus, man. Look at verse 33, same chapter, verse 33. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Notice, what was their witness about, church? Come on, talk to me. What were they witnessing about? Jesus Christ, right. Look at chapter 5. Will you turn over there with me, please? Chapter 5, verse 42. Chapter 5, verse 42. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they, the apostles, ceased not to teach and preach who? Jesus Christ. It did not say they ceased not to teach and preach their denominational views. It's not what it said. They ceased not to teach and preach their religious rituals. No, they were preaching a person, Jesus Christ. Go to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Flip over a couple pages. Look at chapter 8, verse 5. Here the church is persecuted and scattered. And notice it says in verse 5, Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And what did he do when he got there? He preached religion to them, right? No, what did he preach? He preached Christ unto them, didn't he? Look at chapter 10. Peter here in chapter 10, verse 39. He says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now, can I show you one more verse? Go over to chapter 9. And the apostle Paul gets saved in this chapter. All right? Paul gets saved. And I want you to look at the first thing he does. Look at verse 20. Chapter 9, verse 20. It says there, and straightway. That word straightway means immediately. Immediately, what's the first thing he did? He preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now look up here. I'm just giving you a sampling. I am just touching the hem of the garment. I challenge you, read the book of the Acts of the Apostles. See what they did after having seen Christ. See what they did. Some of you may be thinking, wait a minute, Paul couldn't be an apostle. He didn't get saved till Acts 9. He couldn't have been there in that 40-day window after the resurrection. That's correct. You would be correct. But Jesus Christ made an unprophesied appearance personally to Paul in Acts chapter 9. And Paul got to see Jesus Christ, the risen and the glorified Christ in that resurrection body, he got to see Jesus Christ because Jesus made a special appearance to Paul. And so you've got these apostles. They had seen Christ. They were witnesses. And so now they go out everywhere here in the book of Acts. And they're going out and they're proclaiming. Do you see now why Paul said that Jesus Christ had been preached unto the Gentiles? Their main business was preaching Christ. Now, this is important. Preached unto the Gentiles. Here's why it's important that Paul said that. He didn't say preached unto Israel. He said preached unto the Gentiles. And here's why that's important. Because, you see, when Jesus Christ came to the earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, listen closely now. When he came, this will help you to get this. When he came in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he was walking on the earth in his earthly ministry, remember doing all the miracles and the healings and all the signs and all those things, his ministry was confined to the nation of Israel because they were God's people, they were God's chosen nation. And it wasn't that God didn't love the rest of the world. It's that God had a plan to reach the world, and he was going to work through the nation of Israel. You see, the prophetic plan was this. If we could bring the map up, notice that this map that you have here, Israel, and notice that in the map here, you've got Israel here, okay? And there we go. Israel's here, okay? It's shaded dark. And the prophetic plan was this, is that when Israel, when their Messiah would come, if they would accept and receive their Messiah, he was going to make them fit to be a kingdom of priests on earth. And he was going to make them fit to be able to send light and peace and knowledge and blessing out to all the other nations. So the prophetic plan was that Israel would have their sins remitted. They would be redeemed. They would be made into what God wanted them to be. And then they would become a kingdom of priests, so to speak, in which they would then reach out and send that light and that knowledge of God and that blessing and that peace. They would send that knowledge out then to the nations. And Christ would rule and reign on that kingdom throne on earth there in Jerusalem. And from them would proceed blessing to all the other nations. Here's the problem, though. After Christ rose from the dead and he ascended up, Israel as a nation and their leadership completely rejected Jesus Christ. If you read the Acts of the Apostles, you know what you find? And this is what I didn't read to you, but you can read it on your own, is that they went everywhere proclaiming Christ there in the nation of Israel only to be persecuted, to be beaten, to be jailed, and yes, some of them even martyred. The leadership of Israel took their lives and brutally slew many of them. And so here they go, and they're going out to Israel. They're proclaiming that their Messiah is risen from that. You crucified him, Israel, but he's risen. And now he's offering us this chance to be able to be the blessing that God wants us to be to the nations. And if you'll repent, Peter said, he'll return and the times of restitution of all things will come and we'll be that blessing that God intended us for us to be. But they rejected their Messiah. They rejected their king. No king, no kingdom. And so now what was to happen, though, to the earth? Because it was through them the blessing and knowledge of God was to come, but they didn't want any part of it. So now, what was the plan going to be now? What would happen to the nations of the earth? Israel was to be that source of blessing, but they were in unbelief in rejecting their Messiah. And this is a key statement. It was revealed progressively throughout this book of Acts that Christ's work was not simply for Israel, but it was for all nations. Christ's work was not simply for Israel, but it was for all nations. I want you to imagine with me for a moment that the new walkway that we have back here in the back of the church to protect folks from rain and so forth. Imagine that one night here at church, there's lightning coming down everywhere. I mean, it's dangerous. There's lightning everywhere. There's hail coming down. It's just raining cats and dogs, you know. And you go to walk under the walkway, and somebody stops you and says, "You can't walk on that walkway." In fact, I think that happened to Brian Danford. He tried to walk on the walkway, and Pastor Shannon said, "You can't walk on this walkway." "Why not? Are you a woman?" "No, then you can't walk on this walkway." You know? Are you over 50? "No, then you can't walk on this walkway. This walkway is only for an exclusive group." And so Brian's trying to seek protection underneath the walkway, but he can't because the protection's there for only an exclusive group. Let's bring that down. They look like they're enjoying that way too much. In the same way, would you guys agree with me? People need to find shelter because God one day, the Bible says, there's a day of the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God is coming to make war upon sinners. God is coming to judge sin. And would you agree that we all need shelter and protection from the wrath of God against sin? Would you agree with that? Well, Satan wants people to think that Christ's work wasn't for them, just like that walkway. "Oh, you can't walk on the walkway." "Why not?" "Well, you're not this, you're not that. You got to be this and you got to be that." In the same way, Satan wants to think that the shelter that God provides us from his wrath, that's only for a certain group of people. But God made it known that Christ's work was for every individual on this earth, every nation, every culture, every tongue, and every person. We read of Jesus Christ being preached in Samaria. Then we read of God commissioning Peter to go to a Gentile's house by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius and all of his Gentile household get saved in Acts chapter 10. And Peter made this statement. I mean, he was having trouble figuring it all out, you know. But finally he says, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of nations." Later on, Peter said, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, that opened the door then for the mighty Gentile ministry of the Apostle Paul. And when the Apostle Paul got saved in Acts 9, remember how we read straightway he preached Christ? When Paul got saved, it was made clear from the very beginning, the day he got saved, it was made clear that his ministry would be to preach Christ to all the Gentiles. Gentiles are anybody that's not Israel. Okay, anyone that's not a Jew, we're a Gentile. And he was going to preach Christ to all the Gentile nations. I want you to look at this passage on the screen. Notice when God saved Paul, here's what Jesus said to him. "I'm delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And here's what I'm sending you to do, Paul, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." You see, God made it known to Paul, "Paul, I'm going to give the world a grace period in which the good news of Christ would be proclaimed to all nations. Any individual on the earth can be saved from their sins by simply putting their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ." I want you to look in your handout and notice Romans 10:13 in your handout. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Can we say that together? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hey, who is whosoever? Anybody. I mean, I think anybody knows that's what that means. Whosoever, anybody. And that was the message. Paul had an everyman ministry. See? And God was giving the world this grace period. And listen, here's the good thing about it. Here's what God revealed to Paul, is that Gentiles, the prophetic plan said Gentiles would go through Israel to get their blessing. He said, no, Gentiles don't have to go through Israel. They don't have to go through any, Israel's religious rituals. They don't have to go through their religious rites. They don't have to go through Israel's law. Gentiles can be saved by sheer grace, by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation would be sent out to the world on an absolutely equal basis through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Salvation would be sent out on an absolutely equal basis through the finished work of Jesus Christ. I mean, think about this. If I said to you, "Hey, the first 100 people that go through that back door into the foyer, the first 100 people through that door get a $100 bill, ready, set, go." That wouldn't be too fair, would it? Those four folks in the balcony wouldn't have much of a shot, would they? Unless they swung down and really did something crazy, you know, room, you know. But I wouldn't advise that, all right? But that wouldn't be real fair, would it? Because the ones back there right by the door would have an advantage over these up here in the balcony. They would have an advantage. The period of grace that we live in today is a period in which God revealed nobody has any advantage over anybody else. God loves the world. He died. The Bible says that Christ died for all because we were all dead in our sins. He died for all. And the Bible says God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And Paul said that we are preaching Christ to every man, and we're warning every man, and we're teaching every man. Paul knew that everybody could be saved on an absolutely equal basis. Aren't you thankful for that today? You know, so it has nothing to do with your intellect, how handsome you are. It has nothing to do with your economic status. It has nothing to do with, you know, the fact that, well, you know, you've made brownie points with God because you did this or you did that. Nothing at all to do with that. God is offering salvation on an absolutely equal basis today through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's the Apostle Paul that was given that office of Gentile apostleship, and it was Paul that carried that message of Christ into all the Gentile lands in the book of Acts. It's not Peter and James and John and the 12 that you see doing that. It is Paul. In fact, they made an agreement and a handshake in Galatians 2 that the 12 would focus on their continuing work with Israel and that Paul would go forth to the Gentiles. And Paul went out to the Gentiles. And did you know that the Apostle Paul established local churches like Crossroads throughout all three provinces of the Roman Empire in his day? You say, what were those churches founded on? Was there a denomination? No, there's not one listed anywhere. Was it a set of religious rules or laws? No. No, it was not. You say, well, what did he found those churches on? Was it water baptism? No. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, which lets me know they're not one and the same. One's not a part of the other. You know, one of the biggest lies Satan has going is that, well, you know what? I have people tell me, I'll say, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And they'll say, yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. Really, why? Well, I was baptized. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He said that in 1 Corinthians 1, letting you know that they're different. They're not part of each other. At one time, it was part of the gospel. At one time, it was part of that plan with Peter and when they were ministering to Israel. Paul had a Gentile ministry, and he said, no, that's not what Christ sent me to do. It's to preach the good news that, you know what? You don't got to be dunked in water. You don't got to join the church. You don't have to keep a list of rules. You can be saved from your sins. Why? Because what Jesus did on the cross is enough. It's sufficient. It's complete. Nobody can add to it. Nobody can. It's not what Jesus did plus something else. What He did is enough. And that's the message Paul got. And those churches were founded and established on that truth. You say, prove it. Look in your handout. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice he said, and I, brethren, it's in your handout. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. And notice he said, I was declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save except Jesus Christ. And let's bring it up. And Him what? Crucified. That's enough.